Christmas. Ba ba da ba 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 ba. Happy Christmas. Woohoo!
Hey gamers. Welcome to the E3 edition of Stocking Stuffers with your boys, with the Z, the Christmas Creeps. It's been another great year at E3. Call of Duty, World War II, Assassin's Creed Origins, Wolfenstein. Actually, Wolfenstein 2 looks kind of good, but hi.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Christmas Creeps. This is Stocking Stuffer edition, where your pals here at Christmas Creeps discuss Christmas episodes of your favorite TV shows. I'm Joseph Wade. Here with me tonight is my good friend, Mr. Bradford.
Hello.
And for various and sundry reasons, with E3, you know, being, having wrapped up and behind us, and with Father's Day being here today, our proper episode of Christmas Creeps kind of got put on hold, so we wanted to bring you something. So in the spirit of givenness, we're presenting you with at least, you know, something to tide you over until our next proper episode. So we're doing a stocking stuffer today about video games, because who doesn't love a good video game?
It's also Father's Day, so we're going to talk about our favorite dad, Koopa.
Koopa Dad. So first up tonight, we are discussing Koopa Claws, the Christmas episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Yes.
From 1989. I was 3 years old when this came out. So
I was one.
So this hits me right in my, like, my primal nostalgia, like, center. Watching this again, it took me way back to the late 80s and early 90s of my early formative Nintendo youth. Hmm. And boy, oh boy, was this something else.
I have seen Super Mario Brothers Super Show a couple of times when I was little in syndication on, like, our local UPN or WGN affiliate or whatever. The station that showed all of the syndicated shows.
Right.
Yeah.
And this show was part of a block of Nintendo or video game related shows. So, I mean, in this episode, they reference, you know, stay tuned for scenes from the next Legend of Zelda cartoon. And I believe this was also the same block that had, like, Captain N, the Game Master.
Mm-hmm.
And
it had Sonic, I think later. Think it had
maybe later on, yeah.
Yeah.
But, this was pre Super Mario Brothers movie. And this kind of gave us the first... Is this the first live-action Mario we've ever seen?
I believe it is. I don't think any of the... I mean, I'm sure there was some, like, Japanese variety show where somebody dressed up as Mario, but...
Oh, maybe.
An honest-to-God licensed live-action Mario? Yes, I believe that's probably the case.
Mario here in the live-action segment, the wraparound segment of this episode, played by Captain Lou Albano, from the WWF wrestler of some fame, also noted cohort of Cyndi Lauper, and Luigi, played by Danny Wells, both of whom have sadly passed on, but they leave a strong legacy here in the Super Mario Brothers Super Show,
and a Mario and Luigi shaped hole in our hearts.
Yes. So, Brad, why don't you tell us what this episode's kind of built around?
You mean the wraparound, the live action?
Yeah.
So Mario and Luigi are in their home in Brooklyn watching a fight on television, and a small child walks in with a briefcase, and he announces to, and apparently they know, the brothers Mario are familiar with this small boy, and they say, "Brian, what are you doing?" Brian lies and says he's selling Tupperware, but then he reveals, after no coaxing at all, that he's running away from home. And they're like, "Oh, well, sit down and have some pizza with us. We watched the cartoon short about Christmas, that's actually about Christmas." And we cut back, and Mario tells a story about how when he ran away from home, nobody actually missed him. And Luigi and his mom were glad to have him gone. And so Mario ends up telling this small child, "Actually, you'll make your parents regret it more if you stick around," which is kind of a terrible thing to tell a child.
Yes.
But he's like, "Yeah, if you want to make them regret it, actually, you should go back and continue being your small child self."
Yeah, absolutely.
And Brian is coaxed by this and leaves. And that is the entirety of the wraparound plot. essentially.
Which amazingly has nothing to do with Christmas.
Not at all. Not at all. So we should get into our... they always show a Mario animated feature in the middle. And that is what is related to Christmas. The episode Koopa Claws.
What I love about this is that we get the live action intro theme song. And then we get the animated intro theme song.
Yes, with different lyrics, but the same tune.
Yeah, this the same artist like rapping about Mario and Luigi, and it's kind of great. So Mario and Luigi and Toad and here Princess Toadstool, not yet Peach. They're on their way to Hawaii Land for a winter vacation, and take a wrong turn at Iceberg X, I believe Toad says, and wind up at the North Pole.
Oh, can we actually? I didn't when we were watching this together. I didn't address this. I know it's an homage to Bugs Bunny or whatever, but they just emerge from the ground. Like, I guess it's implied that they're using pipes, but...
But there's no... They don't come out of any pipes.
They don't come out of a pipe. They just kind of burrow out of the ground like giant burrowing mammals. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like, they don't do that in Mario. They warp through pipes.
Yes.
Or maybe with the warp whistle, but that didn't come around until Mario 3.
No. I should also mention... As, like, kind of a cold open to this, like, Koopa's in his lair destroying toys, and I think it's maybe 6 seconds into the episode where he's like, destroy them! I hate Christmas! No justification, no backstory whatsoever. It's Koopa. He's just evil. He wants to destroy Christmas. He's the best dad. He's the best daddy.
Yeah, he's the best Koopa dad.
I want to hug him.
He declares furiously and with much aggression... Bah hum coop on Christmas.
He does that many times.
Oh god, yeah. So Koopa has kidnapped Santa Claus and frozen his workshop and all of his elves and all of his reindeer and all of his toys.
Yes.
So that Christmas cannot happen. But Mario and the gang show up and see the situation and they fight Koopa off. But Koopa makes off with Santa Claus in his sleigh with his 8 tiny reindeer, but not reindeer. This is What is it?
It's the condor looking things from Mario 2 that, you know, the ones
that drop bombs
that
yeah.
Inexplicably for some reason in this cartoon have handlebars on their heads, and the Hydra snake also has handlebars on his heads for whatever reason.
I think to give the appearance of reindeer.
Oh, okay. Wow, they really yeah. didn't address that much.
It's a pretty dumb touch to be frank.
Because it's got, like, the headlight and everything. I mean, yeah, whatever, yeah. But I'll roll right. with it, but...
Yeah, fine.
It wasn't evocative enough that I thought it was a thing.
So they give chase. Mario and the gang give chase and hunt down Santa... Not Santa Claus, Koopa Claus.
Koopa Claus.
With Santa hostage in the back seat. And Brad noted at this point, like, if Koopa was really evil, wouldn't he have just killed Santa by now?
Right. What's his endgame? Like, if he really hates Christmas, wouldn't it make sense to murder the man? I mean, it's a children's cartoon, but...
Yeah. But
yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense for if he's really that evil that he's going to ruin Christmas,
or
would he not want to just...
freeze him.
Yeah,
freeze bombs. Put him on ice and then deal with him. I don't know, man.
But then if Koopa killed Santa Claus, would Koopa become Santa Claus?
Under the rules of the Santa Claus, yes. Maybe that's why he's trying to avoid killing Santa Claus.
Because he knows the rules, and he knows if he kills Santa, he becomes Santa.
And he becomes what he most hates.
Which is good.
Oh.
And, yeah, no, Koopa wants good in his heart. So he's made off with Santa Claus. And I guess he's going to, like... there's going to be a hostage situation, and he's going to make demands. But we don't get any of that. He doesn't get that far.
He mostly said he wants to, like, destroy Christmas and make sure everybody has a really bad Christmas.
So if he doesn't want to kill Santa, then, like, how is he going to? Is he just going to, like, go off somewhere and just live with Santa for the rest of existence? Like,
I think he's trying to deny Christmas for everybody else. So I guess keeping.
But you gotta put Santa somewhere, and...
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If we're thinking that the Santa Claus actually is in the same universe as this, that if his best way of preventing anybody else from having Christmas without becoming Santa would be, yes, to take Santa hostage and to keep him as a hostage in comfort in his Koopa lair for the rest of eternity. That's the only way you can do this. I mean, I guess you could freeze him. If you put him into some sort of cryostasis, you wouldn't technically be killing Santa.
Right.
You would and just that's put him where on ice that, and that's where him, I think yeah. he had a misstep. Is he really should have just used one of those freezy bombs on Santa and then taken the slab of ice with them. So the Mario brothers couldn't unfreeze him. Although I guess they did need Santa to unfreeze all of the ice once they rescued Santa. We're really reaching here because there is very little plot to this episode. It is mostly cartoon. It is
remarkably light.
I could sum it up in 3 sentences, actually. Oh boy.
So yeah, I mean, it's. I don't even know how you want to wrap it up. They get Koopa to a stalemate where Koopa's about to throw Santa off a cliff.
And then he yells, Bah Koopa Bug, was it?
Bah Hum Koop. Bah Hum Koop on Christmas. Bah Hum Koop. Okay. And he causes an avalanche.
Yes. And then Mario rescues Santa using a plumbing snake.
Which isn't so much a plumbing snake as it is just like a really long extension cord.
Or a whip. So he grabs Santa down off the cliff. That's a really long plumbing snake. Koopa jumps off of the cliff into the water after Mario coaxes him. Apparently Mario doesn't want him to die. And then Koopa climbs onto an iceberg and there's a polar bear there, like a Hanna-Barbera polar bear that's yelling at him.
And little known fact, a polar bear's favorite treat is fresh sea turtle. So Koopa is not in a good place.
Wait, is that really true?
I don't know. I just made it up. I went to the science center yesterday, and I learned a lot about polar bears and turtles.
And the interaction between the two.
Yeah. Never the twain should meet.
Yes.
But yeah, Koopa is left to fend for himself against the polar bear. I think Koopa would win that fight.
So I have a question for you, Joe.
Okay.
You're our resident turtle expert. Is Bowser cold-blooded? I mean, I know he's cold-blooded in the literary sense.
But, yes, very much so.
But is Bowser he's a reptile, right? So he's cold-blooded.
Yeah, he's a big old reptile.
I know that he has the Santa suit, which is keeping him warm in this polar climate, but wouldn't he want to like lay down and take a nap about 3 minutes into this short, especially when he jumps into that ice cold water?
That's a good question.
Maybe his shell, like, because you know Dry Bones, right? Or Dry Bowser.
Yeah.
When he's all dead, he's like, he's glowing. His shell is glowing in the back like he's made of lava. Maybe he has some sort of reactor in his shell. Man, that'd be really cool, actually. If we wanted to do a gritty reboot of Mario, a gritty live action reboot of Mario, I mean,
they've already done it, but sure.
I know. Is the Mario Brothers movie really that gritty? I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's like sci-fi dystopian gritty, not necessarily like
I really need to watch this Mario Brothers movie.
Batman. It's not like Batman-esque grimdark. It's just like, let's turn this into a science fiction movie and tease it out to its logical extension.
Man, I might watch that after this, actually.
I would recommend it, if only because it is so colossally weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfathomable.
See, I think anybody that has regularly listened to this podcast knows at this point that I'm a really big Nintendo fan.
Yeah.
I've gone 29 years without watching the Mario Brothers movie. I should probably watch the Mario Brothers movie at some point.
Sorry. He's too busy playing Mario to sit down and actually watch Mario.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
How have we known each other this long and I haven't shown you the Mario Brothers movie?
Do you own it? Do you have a copy?
I'll probably, yeah.
Somewhere in your giant Scrooge McDuck vault of DVDs?
Yeah, that I just swim in all day long? Yeah.
Yes.
Hold all of my calls. I'm going to go swim in DVDs.
All right. We should mention there was one aside to this episode, which is that Princess. Okay, sorry, I almost said Peach. Princess Toadstool gives Toad a snowboard as a gift for Christmas, and he loves it. It's his favorite, and he keeps mentioning about how Christmas is all about the presents, and we know what the moral of the story is going to be.
Yeah, you see it coming a mile away.
Yes, they get Santa back to the workshop. It's all frozed over, and nobody can unthaw it.
Firefly, ba-bombs.
Ba-bombs, fire flowers, ice air or fire arrows. If Link is in the neighborhood, they don't know how to unthaw it, and then they inform Toad that he got the only present during Christmas because apparently other people can't give other people presents. And Toad says, "Okay, well, Santa, you can have my snowboard so that somebody else can have a present." And then Santa's heart is warmed, and then he goes critical, and he glows blue and unthaws the entire Christmas workshop, and Christmas is saved.
The spirit of Christmas is warmth in a time of coldness.
Yes,
like, and actually, I'm breaking it down super hard, but that's pretty true, actually.
Yeah, I guess it's cynical of me, but I would not have been surprised if there was no moral to this entire Christmas episode, and it is the Mario Brothers defeat Koopa and save Santa, the end, no moral. Nobody learns anything. No hugging, no learning. But Toad does provide the moral in this one, that it's better to give than receive, with the most generic Christmas message ever.
Toad does kind of bring it back at the end. So, I mean, I guess I'm glad we have Toad, if nothing else, for
I'm very glad we have Toad. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Just in general. Are you kidding?
He is the best, he is the best character, at least in Mario 2.
He is my favorite character in Mario 2. He's my favorite character in Super Mario 3D World.
After they
added the Inklings to Mario Kart, I don't know anymore.
Well, I haven't.
It's a topsy-turvy, godless world now with Mario Kart, so I don't know what. I don't know. Everything black is white, up is down.
Mario Kart's turning our kids into squids. Okay. So I guess the last thing we have to talk about is would you put this in your Christmas rotation when the holidays come back around?
Ironically, yes.
Yeah, sure, I would. I had fun with it.
Who gives a shit? My main thing for this whole quotient that we've come up with is basically, is this a downer or not? Like, if it's not a downer, it'll go in. Sure.
Yeah, totally. It's very much not a downer.
It's not good, but it's not a downer. It's the Mario, it's the Mario Brothers Christmas special. What's there not to I guess?
It's basically a Mario Brothers version of the Grinch. Let's be honest here.
Oh, absolutely.
King Koopa is very much the Grinch. He dresses up like Santa and then steals Christmas and then kind of sort of maybe feels bad, a little bit bad about it after the fact. No,
he doesn't really have any remorse. He's like, well, I failed to steal Santa and ruin Christmas. Mario Brothers beat me again. How could this be any worse? And then a polar bear comes and yells in his face.
Okay, yeah, so he doesn't redeem himself because he's King Koopa, but other than that, it's basically the Grinch.
He doesn't need any redeeming. He's a perfect dad just the way he is. He has such a hard life these days, trying to raise a child on his own.
Okay, so a child or... Okay.
The Koopa... Miyamoto
has outlined... The Koopa kids are out of canon at this point, right?
No. The Koopa kids are completely canon. The Koopa kids are not Bowser's children.
Well, whose children are they?
They're other Koopa people. Like, they're just hangers-ons. They're like the snot-nosed brats that like to hang around Bowser. Bowser's only child is Bowser Jr.
Or...
What? Or...
Maybe the Koopa kids are Bowser's siblings who have fallen through a time portal into the present.
It's entirely possible.
That this is my headcanon now. I will accept no other explanation.
If we can actually derail the podcast for a moment to talk about headcanons in E3 chat, I did see something really interesting from an interview with Miyamoto during this last E3, or it might have been before this, but it had just come to light, where it's like Miyamoto's headcanon for the Mario universe is every single Mario game, and Mario 3 especially lends credence to this. Every game is like a play, basically. And so, like, when they're off work, like, Bowser and Mario are, like, friends and co-workers, and that's why you have, like, Mario Kart and Mario Tennis and stuff like that. But...
okay.
I just thought that was interesting. Like, it's...
that is kind of neat, yeah.
It's, you know, it's all in good fun. I mean, it really... it actually... that kind of sort of canon meshes really well with the Mario universe is kind of like a fun-loving thing where it's like, oh, Bowser's not actually bad. He just plays a villain on TV, or in this case, in a video game, which I love because I love Bowser. I love Bowser a lot. But I think based on that, if Mario Tennis is considered like out of universe, like this is what happens when they're off hours, Wario and Waluigi are just still giant pieces of shit. Like,
oh, no,
they're the true scum lords of the Mario universe. And that's what makes me love this sort of this universe even more. Is it's like, oh yeah, Bowser's fine. He's just whatever. He just plays a bad guy on TV. But this pervert
this guy's a real piece of work, and we don't really like to talk about him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Anyways.
I like that being like the Mario canon as sort of stage productions and then on and off hours, rather than the Zelda canon, which is just a big jumbled up mess that nobody can really parse.
Oh, man.
But we don't need to go into that.
Let's not even get into the Zelda timeline. There's not a Christmas episode of Zelda, is there?
Not that I'm aware of. We can research it, but I don't think so.
Who doggy? All right.
Anyway, so I think we're in agreement here. Koopa Claws is, you know, thumbs up for your Christmas rotation. It's a good time. It's good fun.
It's not high nostalgic art, but it is good Christmas special.
Yeah. If you want to put it on during a Christmas party, it's definitely good Christmas party filler. People will enjoy it. They'll put their kids in front of it, I guess, if you bring kids to a party.
Man,
it's a good time.
Oh man, I haven't told you this actually. I remember when I was little, my parents were very protective of me when I was little. Uh-huh. And we go over to my cousin's place, and it's for the Christmas party. We're up in Ohio, where all my extended family is. And what's that they've put on the television? Why, it's the South Park Christmas special with Mr. Hankey.
Where
he's writing I distinctly remember him writing like Noel on the mirror and poop. And I'm just like 5 year old, or I probably wasn't five. I was probably more like 7 or 9 at the point. I'm just like looking there. And then my mom, like I saw my mom like actively grab my shoulders, and, like steer me away from the TV as that's going on.
Wow.
Don't forget to bring a towel. Oh, manzies. Oh, I forgot about that. I played Crash Bandicoot. That was the first time I played a PlayStation. I played Crash Bandicoot at that Christmas party. It was a good time.
Fun memories.
Fun memories. I don't see many of my extended family anymore. I'm not sure why.
Who can say?
Who can say indeed? So that's a little trip down memory lane. But yeah, Mario Brothers special is good.
All right, and we will be taking a short break, and when we come back, we'll be discussing a second episode in this Double Trouble E3 spectacular.
I guess you could say it's a shot and a chaser.
Mario's shot, and what will the chaser be?
Secrets. It'll be a surprise.
I wasn't going to say.
Okay. All right.
We will be back.
This is
the secret of
the sailor
madness.
And then he kind of comes back and his family's being fucking gassed in the basement where they live, to the point where his mother's like, Max, run! Falls down. I was like, the fuck, Joe? Why are you going to open on that?
Go and stay with your cousin Berkeley in Washington. leaves a ditch address. This is a phone number. Bring a pack of fists or something just to make a nice present for my wife. Say thanks for staying. Okay, bye. Ugh.
Secret of the Sailor Madness, the cynicism-free animation appreciation podcast.
Without being overly earnest about things.
But not too serious either.
Discover it for yourself at secretofthesailormadness.com or on your favorite podcast aggregator.
Secret of the Sailor Madness, overthinking cartoons for fun and profit.
And we're back.
A dinosaur and in this story.
You thought you could get away with that, but you couldn't.
This time we're giving the competition a chance to entertain us as well. So we're discussing Sonic's Christmas Blast from 1996. 3 whole years after The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog went off the air, they came back and brought us a one-off Christmas episode. And
still featuring Jaleel White, though, interestingly enough.
Still featuring Jaleel White, still featuring Robotnik and his goons, Scratch and Grounder. With an evil scheme to take over Christmas. And Brad, how did this episode treat you?
It was all right. I mean, it certainly had more plot than the Mario one. So I watched more of this Sonic cartoon when I was younger. The whole Sonic thing was weird. Like, in the early 90s, they decided to do this Western spinoff where they had the cartoon. I actually had a, like, an easy reader novel. You know, the novellas that they'd give kids.
Yeah.
Where it's not really a novel, but it's not, like, a picture book. Where it's, you know, like, 60 pages or something like that. I had one where it's Sonic, and the cartoon and this book are set in like this weird dystopian situation where like Sonic and Tails and Sally and like the other people are like these freedom fighters.
Vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the universe we're dealing with. And so this is also set in that same universe where there are apparently humans that live in a city, but Robotnik announces, he creates a robot Santa, and the robot Santa announces that Robotnik is going to be the new Santa. And so Robotnik takes over Christmas and basically forces everybody to give him presents. And Sonic is not having any of this, and so Sonic and Tails go on an adventure to rescue the real Santa. I say there's more plot to this, but actually now I can sum it up in about 5 sentences.
Yeah, so I mean, getting into the details of it here. So Robotnik's plan is basically to have his robot slaves build like 1,000 chimneys onto his evil lair castle thing, so that all of the people of Robotropolis, is that what it's called?
Robotopolis, I think, or something like that. Robopolis.
Yeah, so that all the people of Robotopolis can come to his house
and climb down the chimneys
and deliver presents to him. And what's the wildest part of this is that they all do it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know he's got his robot army and that he can impose his, you know, Santa can impose his evil will as he pleases. But I mean, they don't show this, by the way. They don't show people going down all these chimneys and delivering presents.
Yeah. They have Robotnik's two main cronies, Scratch and Grounder, come around and try to drum up, like, support or whatever for Robotnik. And they're like, well, what are you giving? And then this dude's like, oh, I have to sell all my furniture to pay my wife's medical bills. All I have left is the house. And then they bulldoze the house and, like, take all the pieces, and it's capitalism.mp4. But, anyways... So they're doing this under duress, obviously, and
right.
So Sonic comes to the rescue, and there's a little kid, and he's like, "Yeah, I told Robotnik that I wasn't giving him anything, and then I punched him in the dick, and now I've had a little more alcohol since our last recording, if you can't tell.
Kid's in a bit of a pickle because now he's like hiding in the streets from Robotnik's goons.
Well, yeah, he actually got sent to go to be in a robot factory, and he was like, oh, I escaped. Sonic, will you help me? And so Sonic and Tails beat the shit out of Scratch and Grounder, and then figure out he dresses up as a janitor at some point. And finds out where
tricks him into telling him where Santa's being kept, and he says like, hey, I'll waive these this littering charge if you tell me where Santa's being kept. And they're like, oh, well, that's very generous of you.
And they
just like come right out.
Never mind that these two dudes just bulldozed a guy's fucking house. But they're like, oh, littering what? Charge. Oh yeah,
damn,
drop that.
Of you. Merry Christmas. And they just like tell him
very Christmas. Very much Yuleside.
Much decency.
So they tell Sonic where Santa's being held, and Sonic goes and rescues Santa.
But then the turn that comes is that Santa is depressed because he knows there's not enough time to save Christmas.
He's way behind schedule.
Yeah, he's way behind schedule. But in the prison cell that he's been held in, there are hieroglyphics etched into the wall that explain that, okay.
Sonic has a ring.
Sonic has a ring that Sally gave him last year. It has a weird little symbol on it. He's like, I don't know what this symbol is for. Santa tells him that there are hieroglyphics on the wall that tell Santa how Sonic can unlock the secret of supersonic speed with this weird, like, scientific formula that's on the wall.
And all it does is, like, a glove plus formula equals, and then the symbol.
The weird, like, lightning strike symbol.
It's the
like
weird
the Harry 90s. Potter.
Yeah, like, it's like a nine. Take the Harry Potter lightning bolt.
Harry Potter.
Take the Harry Potter symbol and then add 90s into the formula and make it like more swirly and exotic, and you got it.
And it turns out the answer to this formula is that Sonic has to do like a decathlon down a mountainside.
So he climbs a mountain, and then he snowboards down a mountain, and then he rides a bike at some point.
He snowboards down the mountain with the snowboard that Tails gave to that Toad gave to Santa from the Mario episode.
Yes, yes.
And he snowboards down the mountain and then picks up a parasail and parasails into
the two cronies, Scratch and Grounder.
He drops the friggin' snowboard right on their faces, which debilitates
them. They're both, I mean, they get decapitated a lot. I mean, they were, they had their heads off their bodies at a lot of points in this.
They're robots. It doesn't hurt. Anyway.
Yes.
He gets onto a bike, and then the bike goes through the water, and he picks up a fish, and then he runs into
a polar bear
from the Mario special. And the polar bear gets the fish. And then some more sports happen, and then at the end of it, Sonic is granted the power of super speed, I guess.
And then he restores Christmas. And then he gets to be Santa.
That's not a joke, by the way. Like, that's literally the end of the episode. He gets to be Santa.
Yeah, so they were like, Santa's like, oh, now I want you to be Sonic Claus. And, you know, usually you would think, oh, Sonic's like, oh, no, I can't do that. I've got freedom to fight. I'm Jaleel White. Did I do that?
There's only one true Santa in this universe, and that's you, Santa. But no,
Sonic, but Sonic's like, totally into it. He's like, this looks good. I'm going to be Sonic. I'm going to be Santa from now on.
Sonic Claus. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
And it ends with Sonic taking on the mantle of Santa Claus, and Christmas is saved, and Santa Claus can retire. And here's my next question to you.
Yes.
Let's assume this also takes place in the Tim Allen Santa Claus universe.
Yes.
What happens if Santa Claus just willingly gives up his position?
I don't think that's possible in the Santa Claus universe. Because let's go back to our Santa Claus episode.
Okay.
Santa fucking beefs it off of the roof.
Right.
Entirely, like, it looks so staged. This Santa wants to die. This Santa never asked for this.
Right. He fell off of a fairly short roof.
Yes, and you have to imagine this Santa has been climbing around on roofs for, well, there is there's the distinct possibility, which we posit in the Santa Claus episode. Go back and listen to it if you haven't. That this Santa is actually from earlier in the night. But this Santa beefs it off of a fairly shallow roof, a fairly low-grade roof.
Right.
He wants to die. He's willing to die to give up this mantle of Santa. He's done with this torture.
You know, so, that puts forth its own, like, really depressing possibility that earlier in the night, some other guy became Santa, and he did it long enough that he was like, you know what, fuck this, I'm ready to kill myself.
Yeah, and then he basically...
In the span of, like, 4 hours.
And then he basically willingly kills himself. Yeah, he'd gone through Nova Scotia and half of the Eastern Seaboard, and he's like, yeah, no, I'm done with this. And so he just jumps off the roof, essentially, for Tim Allen, the next unsuspecting rube, to become the Santa Claus.
So, and I know we haven't talked about this film yet on the show, but in the Santa Claus 2, the gimmick is that he has to find a wife in a certain amount of time or else he stops being Santa Claus.
Right.
So there are conditions for in which he lives and also does not be is stops being Santa Claus.
So like toxoplasmosis with cats, where it infects the brains of their owners and makes them sort of take on the Stockholm syndrome. I believe Tim Allen has been infected with this Christmas spirit, and so he wants to stay the Santa Claus, but he's had a whole year at this point. Like I said, he's an unsuspecting rube. This other guy was more intelligent and onto the game, and he's like, oh God, kill me now. And so he beefs it off the roof intentionally. Right. Yeah.
But the point I'm getting at is that there has to be a condition for Santa Claus to willingly give it up, right? Not, that doesn't involve killing himself.
No, this is a blood pact. This is a Mayan blood pact.
Okay.
Anyways, I think we can safely conclude that the Sonic universe does not exist in the same universe as the Santa Claus universe, even though the Mario special does.
Right.
Yes.
Which is weird because the Mario special and the Sonic special clearly cross pollinate
with the same polar bear and all.
The same polar bear and the same snowboard.
Yes.
These are concrete facts. Okay. There's evidence to support this.
So here's the thing. In the timeline, if you go back to Ocarina of Time, okay, there are three separate timelines. There's the timeline where Link succeeds in slaying Ganondorf. That is the timeline. That's the what we call the pure Santa timeline, where the Santa Claus stays intact, and that's where the Mario timeline, the Santa Claus is before all of these actions. And if Link defeats Ganon, that is the timeline with the Mario brothers. Now, if Link fails to defeat Ganon, the Santa Claus is broken, and that's where we have the dystopian Sonic timeline. We won't get into the Child Link timeline, but that's how you can tell these two paths diverge.
Okay, so what you're saying...
Yes.
Is that in this timeline, the legal precedent had not yet been written.
Yes, essentially.
Okay. All right, I'll buy it.
It never got around to being written.
Right, right. The condition had not yet been met for that to be written.
Correct, correct.
Which means at some now in the Sonic universe, for Robotnik to become Santa, Robotnik now has to actively kill Sonic the Hedgehog.
Correct. Yes.
So this really actually kind of sets the Sonic universe up into a situation that is, I mean, it's consistent with everything we know about the Sonic universe, that Robotnik now
hates he hates that hedgehog.
He hates that hedgehog, and he now has a perfectly good reason for trying to kill that hedgehog.
It makes sense.
It makes the loopiest kind of ridiculous Christmas-ass sense
that we
can make on this show.
Every Sonic game, all of Robotnik's ends, all of Eggman's ends, all he wants to do, all he wants to be, he just wants to be Santa. And Sonic is Santa. That's all there is to it.
And how do you stop Santa? You can't unless you kill him.
Yes, correct. Now remember, kids, when you're playing all of the Sonic games that come out, you have to win or else Christmas dies. Christmas dies with you.
The spirit of Christmas lives within your Sega Genesis.
Yes.
forever.
Oh, boy. To get back to real E3 talk for a moment.
Okay.
What you think about that Sonic Mania? I mean, Brad, I'll play it. I'll play it.
I'm going to level with you here.
What?
There is not an amount of money you could pay me to care about Sonic Mania.
Wait, did you played like the Sonic 1, 2, and 3, right? The good ones?
Yeah, I did.
Knuckles? It's that. It's that. That's why it's good.
Okay.
It's not a 3D Sonic where you get to make your own OC Sonic character. Did you see that though?
I did not. But hey, Brad, I want to hit you with one more fact.
One more truth bomb. Lay it
this,
on
this,
me.
This may be the clincher here.
Yep.
I'm a 30-year-old man. I don't have time to care about Sonic the Hedgehog anymore. And we just recorded a 20-minute podcast about Sonic the fucking Hedgehog.
Yeah, that's true.
Oof.
Oof.
Woof.
So,
Sonic Christmas Blast. Let's get back to the topic here.
Yes.
I don't know. What'd you think? Was this a fun Christmas cartoon?
It wasn't this fun. It was okay. It really was not... I could ironically enjoy the Mario Brothers one, but I just... There's nothing for me here.
Yeah, I mean, I can at least appreciate the Mario episode from a nostalgic point of view, but Sonic Christmas Blast, I just... This
I know,
was a little bit past my time.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had the Sonic light novels, I had the Sonic PJs, but that's like you said, it's in the past. And
right.
I think
right.
we both will willingly admit that we were on the Nintendo side of the 16-bit console wars, for lack of a better term.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I feel terrible saying that, but that's how it is. Sonic was fine. My friend had a Genesis. It was fun. But, no. In all seriousness. This special just didn't do it for me. It was just kind of, like... It was so... Like, I couldn't even enjoy it, ironically, because it was, like, too wink-wink, nudge-nudge. Like, it knew what it was doing.
It kind of knew it was a bad cartoon.
Yes, exactly.
And then they just leaned into it, and...
They didn't lean into it enough, though. Like, if they leaned into it, like, super-duper hard, it would have worked, but no. It's just bad.
I think the point where it lost me was the Sonic Super Decathlon scene.
Yes, yep, exactly.
It's just Sonic doing a bunch of sports things, and, like, This does not. How does this? No, like I don't go to cartoons like this looking for logic, but like
yes.
This is really just they're just animating Sonic doing cool things.
Also, why does
kids
Sonic
like to watch Sonic do cool things? And that's fine.
Why does Sonic need to ride a bike? He's the fastest thing alive. He can just run.
He has to prove that he's a master of all sports.
Yeah, all the extreme 90s sports,
which. If you want to tease that out to its logical conclusion, I don't understand why Sonic is racing Mario at the Olympics. Because no shit, Sonic's going to win that race.
I've never played a Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. I think we should, for scientific purposes.
For science?
At some point. For science. but yeah, no, this one just doesn't work with between like the Klasky Kuspo random ass kid,
yeah,
and the fact that this came out 3 years after the original run. Yeah, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, just not feeling it, and I'm fairly certain that come Christmas I'm not gonna be putting this back in my rotation. So
same these
pretty heavy thumbs down on Sonic Christmas Blast.
If only for the irony factor. Like let's not beat around the bush here. The Mario Christmas special is not good. In fact,
no,
I would say from a lot of standpoints, it's quantitatively worse, but in a certain way that makes it better.
Right. And the thing about the Mario episode And the thing about the Mario show in general is that it has such this, it has such a kitschy sort of like bad children's TV quality to it that you kind of like it in spite of itself, because like
precisely
the especially the live action segments where like these actors are just, they're just making buffoons of themselves for a children's show, and it's kind of admirable and adorable.
Yes, yeah. And then especially the segment where Mario and Luigi are supposed to be children.
Yeah, yeah. It's silly. It's super silly.
Yeah, but the, and then, the yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, like the whole thing about like the Sonic dystopian thing. It's just so up its own ass in a way.
It's too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like too much plot for not enough story, I guess.
Yeah, like they could have like done a lot more to tie it into actual like issues or like real things that are going on in society, but no, it's just dystopian for like dystopian sake, and it's just, it's not good.
And it doesn't even come around to like the idea that Christmas is the time for giving and sharing and you know, being warm.
Actually,
and
you kind. Know what, I think that the Sonic one has less of a moral than the Mario one does. As surprising as that is, because the Mario one is so paper thin. But does it, anybody learn anything in the Sonic one?
No! Robotnik doesn't learn anything. His Goonies don't learn anything.
Sonic doesn't learn anything. Nobody says anything significant. It's, oh, Sonic becomes Santa, and Robotnik doesn't get his toys. The end.
Santa learns that it's time for him to retire.
Yeah.
That's it.
But there's no message about the meaning of Christmas. There's no message about the spirit of giving.
And it's, Mario does all those things. As thin as it is, it still does it.
It still does it. And as kitschy and trite and stupid as their delivery of it is, at least they attempt that. But the Sonic, you know, when we were watching the Mario one, I was like, well, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a Seinfeld situation. No hugging, no learning. But really, that is true for the Sonic one.
Very much so, yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody learns anything. Like, oh, Sonic's like, oh, I'm the fastest thing alive. I'm gonna be Santa now. Nobody learns anything. Like, Robotnik's like, oh, I hate that hedgehog. That's it.
Yeah, it's... This could have been just a random episode of the show, and I would not have given it a second thought.
Yeah.
But as it's a self-contained, like, produced on its own Christmas special, and it's just awful.
And I'm not trying to say that Christmas specials always need to have, like, strong morals or whatever, but it's just not good.
I mean, it definitely helps, and it helps anchor it to something. This is just... It's like they just made an episode of Sonic and then forgot to release it for 3 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Or they somebody made them an offer. It's like, oh, we need more Christmas specials here at CBS. We're gonna pay you some amount of money to make a Sonic Christmas special. I don't know. Manzies. Oof. Rough.
Okay.
Thumbs down. Not on my playlist.
Never. If I never saw it again, it would be too soon. And that's the stone cold truth.
Yes.
From here at Christmas Creeps. So.
Because Stone Cold said so.
Gah. Sonic 316. Oh, man. That's no good.
That's no good.
So thank you for indulging us in listening to this ridiculous double length episode of Christmas Creeps Stocking Stuffers. We promise we will be back soon with our true 50th episode, but circumstances
being... I'm so excited.
Circumstances being what they were, we couldn't make it happen, and we're sorry. So Brad and I felt we had to bring you something, so we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're interested in hitting us up and telling us what you think, you can go to Twitter and tweet at us at Christmas Creeps. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christmas Creeps. Email us at xmascreeps@gmail.com. And please, by all means, go to iTunes and subscribe and give us a star rating and a review. It's the easiest Christmas gift you could possibly get us.
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Smash that like button.
Yeah, do the thing Brad just said.
Hey, guys.
I'm all out of pod juice, guys. I gotta go.
Welcome to our play. Let's play of Sonic and Mario at the 2008 Beijing Olympics.
I'm going to be Toad and I'm going to win all the races.
I bet you will, buddy.
All right.
I bet you will.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Do the Mario swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to go. Do the Mario. Take one step and then again. Let's do the Mario all together now.